it was just a few of us, isn't there? Just thought it was going to be just four, no more, but a few more that come in. And we'll take a look at a few verses and a few thoughts, and perhaps then we can close maybe a little early. Enjoy the message that Uncle Dave had this morning, some of the thoughts concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus and any of the things surrounding his birth, his coming. Many things became new. We have eventually, after his death and on the cross and the Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, formation of the church, we began the new dispensation of the day of grace. No longer under law, but under grace. And the epistles, as Paul writes, concerning the law and the things that the contrast of the under the law versus the spirit of life through Christ Jesus, the law of grace. But a number of things became new, didn't they? The New Testament speaks about. We have the New Testament in his blood. And it was his blood that shed on the cross that brought to us the new covenant that was through his shed blood, our sins could be forgiven. And that's the new covenant, isn't it? That's sealed in his blood. If it wasn't for his blood, we wouldn't have eternal redemption, the new life that is ours in Christ Jesus. And old things have become new. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. We have many thoughts in the New Testament that have become the foundations of new things through the Lord Jesus Christ. 400 silent years in between, and then God's Word spoke again, and His Son, we have the birth of His Son. Let's turn to back to Luke chapter 2. And I was thinking of the fact of the firstborn. We see that phrase in Scripture, the firstborn. And we see in Luke 2 and verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Was her firstborn son. And according to the Jewish customs, the firstborn had many privileges. The firstborn son was a big part of many of the celebrations and the feasts according to Jewish traditions and customs. And from the earthly standpoint, he was her firstborn son, the first one to be born to her as a mother. And this is his earthly birth, spoken of as the firstborn, as his earthly birth, as God's son. But looking at it from her point of view, it was her firstborn son. And this is the earthly birth. I remember hearing a fellow on the radio one time saying that Joseph was his stepfather. I didn't care for the way that was put. I thought that was very irreverent. Joseph was the Lord Jesus' earthly father, and God designed it that way. The firstborn son that was to be born to Mary was born from the seed of heaven from above, as the Holy Spirit brought conception to Mary. And God was his Father. And God is his Father. Always was. Always will be. And Joseph was never considered a stepfather to the Lord Jesus. He was considered his earthly father. And I didn't think that phrase was quite appropriate. But we see that in his in his birth, that we see in a number of other truths in the Word of God concerning the firstborn. And the word is used several times in Scripture, but it's referring to his heavenly aspect of him. The fact that he's God. As when he was born, he was as much God in the manger as he was when he parted the sea, or he calmed the sea, I should say, with the disciples, and he healed the blind man, fed the multitude, and so on. The many miracles that he did, he was as much God in the manger as he was in his ministry. And I'd just like to look at a few thoughts concerning the fact as the firstborn, as the Bible talks about, from the heavenly, as God coming from heaven. Let's go to John chapter 18. Before I do that, I just want to look at this verse here. The Lord Jesus is brought before Pilate. John chapter 18 and verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and to this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. For this reason was I born. This was the reason, he says to Pilate, that I was born. And for this cause, for this reason, I came into the world. He didn't say to become a king, to make himself, to set himself up on the throne as a king. To exalt himself in any way. But this was a cause that he might bear witness to the truth. That he might be a witness to the truth of God. And as he stands before Pilate, he's declaring to Pilate the truth concerning the Father, the truth concerning who he is, and so on. He's a witness unto the truth. He's a witness of the truth. He came from heaven to earth to be a witness of the truth of the Father. The truth concerning the relationship between the Father and Son. That they're one. The deity. The witness of the many things of who the Father really is in declaring the Father to those who that heard the message. And he was a witness of the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. If you're of the truth, then you've heard his voice. And his voice was the voice of the Father. If we hear his words, it's the words of the Father. And I think as we see the fact that he's the firstborn in different aspects, we see that the Lord Jesus is continuing on as he declares as a witness of the truth to each of us today. If we know the Lord as our Savior, we're to be a witness of the truth. We've been brought into the truth. We've experienced the truth. We've become new creatures in Christ. And we've taken on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the truth. And we're a witness of Him, aren't we? We declare Him to those around us and so on. But we're a witness in some way, either for the good, and unfortunately in some cases not so good a witness, even amongst believers. But God wants us to be a witness, a godly witness of the truth for Him. But that's why Jesus came. He said to Pilate that He would bear witness of that truth. And you know, we see today there's so many people that are declaring different types of religions, man's religions, and the philosophies of man and so on, the teachings of man that is creeping in. Carl was just telling me the other night, was two sisters from New Zealand that was operating an orphanage in Colombia, and just recently they've gotten involved in what they call the liberation movement, and their teaching is that it's possible for a believer to be possessed with demons or to be controlled by demonic forces and so on, and but you have to go through this pattern type of thing and then pray that these demons will be released and so on. And so this there's many different teachings out there, very dangerous teachings, and we see them creeping up in the church today. And so it's caused real strife and real problems there in that area that they're at. So we see that there's not always the witness of the simple truth of the Word of God. I'd like for us to look at Colossians chapter 1. We see there in the phrase or the two words, the firstborn. It's very familiar to you, I'm sure. Colossians 1 and verse 15. Or let's start at verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities, powers, all things are created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. We have here the firstborn of creature. He was, he's the firstborn of all creation, isn't he? He he created all things. He was before all things. He was the one who was before the foundations of the world in all eternity, is with the Father. He was the one, as God, created all things. And here this firstborn son that was born in a lowly birth and wrapped in swaddling clothes and so on, but this one was the one who created all things. He upholds all things. It's amazing when you think of it. You know, so often the message, the true message of Christmas is just put aside and we don't really dwell on the fact of who He really was and is. As God, the creator of all things, the one who upholds all things and sustains all things. Everything holds together by Him. The universe is held together by Him. The power of this one who is the firstborn of all creatures, all creation. And this is the one who was born such a lowly birth. He's the image of the invisible God. He's the likeness. He's the manifestation of the invisible God. We've seen Him, the Lord Jesus. We've seen the Father. And you know, John tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him, there was nothing made that was made. He created all things. In the beginning before time began. And the word there has the thought of the Lord Jesus Christ, the person of Him who before time He created all things. And this is the one who we think of as we think of His birth, surrounding His birth. And then let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. He's the firstborn amongst many brethren. He was the first to be before man. He foreknew before the foundations of the world. He knew all about man. He knew all about you. He knew all about me, didn't He? And His desire was that we might be conformed to His image. And He's the image of the invisible God, isn't He? He's the one who declares the Father. And He wants us to be conformed to His image. He's the firstborn of many brothers. He's the first. And if we focus on Him, if we recognize truly who He is, we'll be conformed to the image of His Son. For whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. You see, He was the first. He was the originator of all things. And He's the firstborn of the brethren. You know, I thought here was the first is creation in Colossians. Here was the conformity of being conformed to the image of His Son. So often believers are conformed to the image of the world, aren't they? So easy to conform to the things around us and the things that appeal to us. The things that we put our mind to and our strength and so on, to the things so often that conforms us to the things of the world, rather than be conformed to the image of His Son, the heavenly image, the image of His dear Son. He's the firstborn amongst many brethren. And then let's go to Revelation chapter 1. Verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten, or the firstborn from among the dead, and the prince of the power of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us, washed us from our sins in His own blood. here we see he's the firstborn from among the dead. He's the first to be resurrected from the dead. He's the only one that triumphed over death and over the grave. And here we have the completion. We have the completion. The Lord Jesus hadn't been raised from the dead. Our faith would be in vain. Our words would be fruitless. And our actions and so on. We'd be dead in our sins and so on. When he died on the cross, when he cried, "It is finished," he finished the work of the Father. And being the sin offering and bearing our sin in his body on the cross of Calvary, he completed that part of redemption in satisfying the demands of a righteous and holy God. His blood was shed. His blood was placed on the mercy seat, and his work was accepted of the Father. He arose the third day in completion of the plan of salvation that God had set forth. He would not only be born, not only would he die, but he would, third day, he would rise again from the dead. And if he hadn't been raised from the dead, our faith would be in vain, and so on. His work of completion. He's the firstborn from among the dead, the first to rise again from the dead. And you know, there's no other since has ever been risen from the dead as the Lord Jesus. He was the only one to be raised from the dead. The completion. You know, our faith would be worthless if it was not for the fact that we have a living, risen Savior. We have one who created all things. We have him who desire is that we might recognize that we've been predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. And then he wants us to recognize that in the living Christ, the risen Christ, the work of redemption, the completion of our faith is seen. And it's a wonderful thought as we think of it. We have a living Savior, a risen Savior. We have the earthly aspect of his birth. We have the heavenly aspect of his birth. And let's go to John, or let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. Paul compares the earthly and the heavenly, but he speaks concerning Adam in verse 47. The first man of the earth is earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthly, such is also they that are earthly. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. For as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Adam, through Adam, we have borne the natural image of the earth. We're born in sin, we're shapen in iniquity, and so on. We are of the corruptible seed. But the second man, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's from heaven. And he has given to us the spiritual aspect, the heavenly seed within us, that which is eternal, that which is incorruptible. And we bear the image of the earthly in our natural body. But we also, because we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we bear the heavenly image. And Romans says that we're predestined, Paul says there, to be conformed to the image of his Son. And this is the image that he's talking about. And if our faith was in vain, we could not bear that image. But because he's completed as the firstborn from among the dead, we bear the heavenly image. I wonder what kind of an image we really present. Do we present to others? Do we bear to others as they see us? I wonder how much of it is heavenly and how much of it is just earthly. How much do we really bear fruit of the conformity of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life? How much do we bear that image that is heavenly? How much do we really desire to be conformed to the image of His Son? How much do we really want to? How much time do I spend in the Word of God that I might desire to be conformed to His image? And so often we're not motivated. We become complacent and we just, things become commonplace. And it's like treading an endless mill. I remember I worked on a project in Elma, like a sort of a senior citizen's place. But out at the front they had a water wheel. And they had a little pump to pump the water up, and the wheel would turn as the water would hit the paddles and so on. And I remember going by it so many times and seeing it turn. And I thought to myself, I wonder if my life, and so often it is, becomes as a paddle wheel, just going round and round. But I wonder, do I really stop and see the true, the real meaning of what God wants for us in life, and what in His desire is that we might be conformed to His Son? So often things become commonplace. John chapter 3. The comparison again of the that which is born of the earth, the natural birth, and the heavenly birth. I'd like us to look at verse 11. Verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So taken up with verse 13, that no man has ascended to heaven. Nobody has ascended to heaven. He's the firstborn from among the dead. He's the first to enter heaven when he completed the work. 50 days after Pentecost, he ascended to glory and the Spirit of God came. He's the only one that ascended to glory. And as he went back to glory, and as he placed his blood on the mercy seat, and as he's seated at the right hand of the Father, in the glory of the Father, he's the only one that's ascended to glory. But he that came down from heaven, that's, of course, speaking of the Lord Jesus, he came down from heaven. He came into this world, to save sinners. Even the Son of Man, which is in heaven, if he came down from heaven, how can he be in heaven? And I think this is the thought as we see the fact that he declares the heavenly. The glory in which he laid aside when he came to this earth, it's that glory that he shows to others. His own glory he laid aside. But he declares the Father's glory and the work of the Father always from the heavenly aspect, as though he is in heaven. He's the Son of God, the firstborn of all creatures, the firstborn from the many brethren. He's the firstborn from among the dead. He's the first in the declaration of the fact of who the Father is. It's as though he declares the glory of heaven. If you've seen him, you've seen the Father. And the glory that the Father has glorified him, he has glorified others. In John chapter 17, that glory he has shown to others. And it's just, as you think of it, as you dwell on it, and we're just going to close with a thought. In 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. The Father lifted up his Son to glory. When the time was come, when he completed the work, he received his Son back into glory. He lifted him up. You know, if we lift him up today through the Word of God, we lift him up as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, we'll recognize him who is the Savior of mankind. As Moses lifted up the serpent, even so was the Son of Man he lifted up. And of course, he's speaking there of the cross, where he was put on the cross, he was lifted up, and he was placed upon the cross, and there he died in our place. He was lifted up. And as we look to him, anyone that looks to him can be saved. As the Father lifted him up into glory when he completed the work of redemption. I was reading in Kings, and I'm just going to close with this. In 2 Kings chapter 18, remember the story of the fact of when the children of Israel was in the wilderness, and they were bitten by the serpents, and the people were angry, and it was those who died. And God told Moses to make the serpent of brass and put on a pole. And if anyone looked at this serpent, they would live. Those who looked at that serpent wouldn't die, but they would live. It's a picture of the Lord Jesus, of course, as John writes. If we look to him, we will live. But I was interested. I ran across this in 2 Kings chapter 18. I can find Kings. I'm having a problem finding it here. 2 Kings 18 and verse 4. Speaking of Hezekiah, he removed the high places, break the images, cut down the groves, break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. Nehushtan means brass brazen. But what they had done was they began to burn incense, the serpent that was made. It was no longer recognized as a serpent of power and that which would save from death. The divinity of the serpent was no longer there. But they had turned it into something in which they burned incense to. They began to worship it. See that it's very easy to get away from the power of the Word of God and to turn it into something that is more satisfying to ourselves rather than recognizing the power of the firstborn that was born as God manifest in the flesh. It's so easy to get away from the power of the Word of God and to be turn it into things of our selfish self-will and our self-worshipping. And these people were burning incense to the serpent. And these are things that Hezekiah had gotten rid of. But it's sad because that can happen. And so there's a danger of getting away from the power of the Word of God, the one who was the firstborn, the one who truly was God manifest in the flesh, and be turned to other things. Idolatry, all the images that they had set up and so on, Hezekiah got rid of. The worship of man was certainly is what they were doing at that time. Let's just close in a word of prayer.